turn with me to Lamentations chapter 5. I'll be reading the whole chapter. Verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the water we drink. The wood we get must be bought. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are weary. We are given no rest. We have given the hand to Egypt and to Assyria to get bread enough. Our fathers sin and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven with the burning heat of famine. Women are raped in Zion, young women in the towns of Judah. Princes are hung up by their hands. No respect is shown to the elders. Young men are compelled to grind at the mill, and boys stagger under loads of wood. The old men have left the city gate, the young men their music. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. For this our heart has become sick. For these things our eyes have grown dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowled over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and you remain exceedingly angry with us. This is the word of God.
Let us go to God in prayer. Eternal God, even as we hear your word in the form of a narrative, open our hearts, Lord. Enable us not just to hear but to feel your words. For in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen.
Oh, the Babylons are here! The Babylons are here!
Ah, it's you, my Lord. For a moment I thought the Babylons were coming after us again. Yes, Lord, silly me. I shouldn't be worried about the Babylons anymore. Yes, I am in your kingdom now. But Lord, who are these people? Ah, we are in the 21st century, and these are your people too? Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Welcome. And how can I worship you today, my Lord? What do you want me to teach them? You want me to teach them? But Lord, what happened to the pastor of the church? Ah, it's the butterfly in the stomach again, yeah? I see. Sure, my Lord. What do you want me to teach them? A song? You want me to teach them to sing? But Lord, the last time I did that, many ran away. You sure you want me to teach them a song? All right, Lord, I'll teach them a song. That song. But my Lord, no one listens to that song anymore. Everyone wants joy. Nobody wants sadness. Yes, Lord. They are your words in the Bible, and ultimately, they are your song. So, my brothers and sisters, how shall we begin? Perhaps with this question. Do you like music? I see that you like music. We just sang so much songs just now. We Hebrews love music. Music is an instrumental part of our lives. We sing it at the fields, we dance at festivals, we at feasts and festivals, we eat merry, and the music is part of our lives. But you know, there came a point that we couldn't sing anymore. Songs of praise and joy don't make sense to us. Look at verse 14 and 15. The young men left their music. The joy of our hearts have ceased. Our dancing has turned to mourning. There was only one type of song we could sing, and it is called a dirge. A dirge is a song composed for a funeral. And it's not your "because he lives" or "what a friend we have in Jesus." Those gives us a lot of hope. But our songs are about babies dying, people murdered, homes destroyed. It's a song of tears and sorrow. Let me show you the lyrics of our song. Should priests and prophets be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Our young men are murdered in the street. People are slaughtered during the war. We were so hungry that tongues of nursing infants stick to the roof of their mothers. People were starving, so much so that we are all skin and bones. Look at our shame. Our women are raped in Zion, young women in the towns of Judah. Our lyric says, it's happier to be murdered than to starve to death. Happy are the victims of the sword than the victims of hunger. Our songs are songs, sadly, about mothers who have to eat their children to survive. The hands of compassionate mother boil their own children. They became food during the destruction of the daughter of my people. We are a people waiting to die, for our hearts have become sick. For these things our eyes have grown dim. These, my friends, are the song we sing. These lyrics are not made up by some songwriter's imagination. These were the events that were happening around us. They are the tragedies that happened during our time. You call it the Book of Lamentations. In our Hebrew language, the title of this book is How, as in, how did it happen? You see a pattern in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4. The first word of each of these songs starts with the word how. Well, I suppose that whether you call it a song, lamentations, or how, they all mean the same. It is a book of sadness and sorrow. Today in Israel, this book is read in the synagogues every year on the fifth Hebrew month. We will not forget how Jerusalem was destroyed and how we have lost favor with God. How did it happen? What happened? Well, Jeremiah wrote what happened in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 6 and 10, 6 to 10. What God has been warning us through our prophet Jeremiah came true. The Babylonians finally invaded our country. They captured King Zedekiah and slaughtered his sons right before his eyes. And after watching the horror, they blinded our king. And the Babylonians had a way to break our spirit so that we will never be able to rebuild our city. They broke the walls of our cities. We had no more protection. The temple in Jerusalem had stood there for centuries since Solomon built it. It represents that God was with us. Whenever we see the temple, we were so proud. We know that we will never lose God's favor. No foreigner can enter, let alone defile it. But when the Babylonians managed to loot and take all the articles, you can imagine our shock and our dismay. When we saw that, it was as good as tearing our faith apart. We asked, has God left us? They chained and took all our able men back to Babylon. And useless people, the poorest people like me, left behind. No way we could build our home again. Chapter 5 best describes our plight. Look at verse 2. Our inheritance has been turned over to foreigners, our strangers, our homes to foreigners. This inheritance is the land that God has given us. But it is beyond just the land or a place to stay. You see, this land is a promise that God made with Abraham to give to his people. It was secured by Joshua when he secured it and entered the promised land. The land was this outward sign of God's favor to us. To lose the land is to lose God's favor. It is to say that God is no longer with us. Well, many of you have identity card or passport. It would say which country you are from, your identity. But look at our identity. At verse 3, we have become orphans, fatherless, our mothers like widow. Verse 4 says, what used to be rightfully ours now come at a bitter price. We had to pay for staples of life. Water and wood, which comes freely, now has to be paid dearly. Verse 6, we thought that the alliance and the political friendship that we made with Assyria and Egypt would provide us that military protection. But you know what? They betrayed us. It turned out to be false security. How silly we were. We should have trusted the Lord instead of trusting the things of this world. We didn't have machines those days. The job of grinding the grain is often regulated to animals. We use animals to do that. But look at verse 13. Our young men are compelled to grind at the mill. Our children carry loads of wood. They were treated like animals. Why were we in such a sorry state? Verse 16 summarizes our state. And why were we there? Woe to us, for we have sinned. Let me tell you just how wicked we were. If you look at Jeremiah 34, God told Jeremiah to proclaim to us that everyone should free his Hebrew slaves, male and female, and no one should enslave a Jew, his brother. The people we made slaves are our brothers and sisters in the faith. We turn them into slaves because they owe us money and they couldn't pay. And God was so mad. How can you make your own brothers and sisters slaves? In that chapter, we agreed to repent, and we did, but for a while. We were just too greedy. We catch them again, and we made them slaves. And because we were so evil, this was one of the reasons that God brought the Babylon now to make us slaves. Friends, there are three lessons that I like to share from our experience. And I hope that this will warn you and also encourage you. Firstly, sin has devastating consequences. Sin has devastating consequences. You see, the reason why we were in this sorry state is because we have sinned against the Lord. We have followed idols. We've adopted a certain lifestyle. We choose not to obey Him. But I also see today in your culture and in your generation that the same idols are still lurking around in different forms. I see in your environments these idols. I see in your movies, in your drama series. And especially concerned that your generation seem to have a very casual and unrestrained attitude towards sexual behavior. Perhaps you know of friends who have it easy with sin. People are having a good time with sin and nothing seems to happen to them. But listen, my friend, sin has devastating consequences. It matters in the real world. And this book, the book that we wrote, screams to us that sin has consequences. God will judge sin. It wrecks relationship. It messes up lives. And we will end up in tears. You know, recently an old friend met Pastor Srimal. And as the conversation went, the man was choking back in tears. Things were not going well for him. He had been unfaithful in his relationship with his wife. His marriage fell apart. And over the years, he was pursuing a certain lifestyle that he thought would entertain him. And it didn't help that he was not a disciplined man who cannot stay on a job. And he was in debt. He is afraid, depressed, and lost his purpose in life. And he told Pastor Srimal very candidly, "I am facing the consequence of my sin." Friends, this is what sin does. It wrecks relationship. Lives get messed up. And it ends in tears. And it doesn't just affect you. It also torments the people around you. God does forgive. But it doesn't mean He will not let us face the consequence of sin. Don't believe in the lie that it doesn't matter if we sin. Don't believe in friends who tell you, follow the desires of your heart. We follow the desires of our heart and look what happened to us. Pastor Srimal feels very sorry for this friend. And as he listens to him, he sends the Lord impressing a word on this friend. Courage. Take courage, my friend. The Lord will lead you step by step. And the friend broke down in tears. Courage. All this while in my life, I've lived as a coward. Will the Lord help me? Yes. Step by step. you turn back to the Lord. You know, friends, today if you sense the Holy Spirit highlighting an area in your life that you ought to turn back to Him, then turn to Him. Follow Him. And Pastor Srima has a regret. You know, at a certain point in that conversation, the friend asked him, "Why didn't you rebuke me?" Pastor Srima agreed that he should have rebuked him earlier. He should have scolded him if there was a need. You know, we all like to play the nice guys. We all like to be the people that people like. But then that brings more harm if we do not speak the truth in love. Be a brother or a sister to someone who is not doing right before God. I know that is not easy. We do need to remove the plank in our eyes first, but our love and concern should enable us or spur us to highlight if there is something wrong. And please pray with Pastor Srima as he keeps this friend accountable. The first lesson we learn, sin has devastating consequences. Turn away from it. Find a friend that can keep you accountable. And be a loving friend to those who need you to speak the truth to them. The second lesson we learn is sadness is a friend that turns us to God. It's quite an unpleasant lesson to accept, actually. After expressing our pain and our sorrow in the first four chapters, Jeremiah led us in chapter 5, verse 1. He appealed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace." We used to be a very proud and rebellious people, but sadness humbled us. If not for sadness, we wouldn't know how much we needed God. Sadness taught us to seek God's mercy and grace. It helped us reconcile with God. You know, some time ago, Pastor Srima watched a cartoon, Inside Out. Riley and her parents moved to a town, a new house, a new neighborhood, and a new school, and everyone thought that Riley should be happy. But she was struggling. There were two interesting characters inside Riley. There's a character called Joy, and Joy would do anything to keep Riley happy. She would bring out the past joyful memories, she would hide away the old memories, the painful ones, and Joy would prevent another character from touching Riley, and she is sadness. And everyone thinks that sadness is a problem. Keep her far away. And the perception that we must always be happy was a psychological block throughout the whole movie, until Joy finally had a breakthrough. She realized how important sadness was to Riley. And when Joy allows sadness to touch Riley, it turns out to be the solution that Riley needed. She needed to cry. She needed to remember who was there when she was sad. And sadness helped her to reconcile with God, with her parents. You know, it's unfortunate that in our case, our sadness was because we have made terrible mistakes. But there are things that make you sad, isn't it? When we lose our loved ones, When we are lonely and helpless, it is hard to see a family member who is struggling with illness. We also grieve when we lose an opportunity, when we are anxious. Friends, in times like this, don't hide sadness. Let it be a friend that turns you to God. And how do you lament? It's okay to verbalize your sadness with a trusted friend. You can express it to the Lord like we did through writing. We wrote the book to express our agony and our sadness, and God honors them as His word. And do you know of someone who is going through a lament, a period of sadness? People who are suffering, friends who are questioning? Friends, don't be a philosopher to them. Don't be a Bible study teacher to them. Just be their friends. Give them the practical help. Buy the person dinner. Keep him company. Be a friend indeed to a friend in need. We learned painful and sorrowful lessons. Sin has devastating consequences. And we also learn to make friends with sadness. And the final lesson we learned is God would suffer to love us. Huh? God would suffer to love us? How did God suffer? I like what one of your scholars by the name of William Orr wrote about Lamentations. He said this: these words are not only Jeremiah's, but God's. So the grief is not only the prophet's, but God. God's grief. It is true, isn't it? If God is the one that inspired the biblical writers to write, then these are ultimately His word. This is what He feels. Friends, God is not this angry God who enjoys to see us suffer. He grieves at sin because it separates us from God. He cries when we are separated from Him. Recently, Pastor Srima was talking to a mother, a young mother, about having to send her child to the childcare center. And he remembered somebody described this heart-rending scene. If you have never seen it, visit a childcare center at the beginning of the year. Some of you have little children. You would know what I mean. It starts when you are about ready to leave home. A boy is usually very noisy. But now he stands still. His silence say, "Mom, why? Why do we have to go?" And as mother and child approach the entrance, it gets worse. He starts to panic. "Mommy, I don't feel well. My tummy aches. Let's go home." He lifts up his hands, needing to be carried, needing to be loved. The mother's own heart pounding. And then she stoops down and carries him. Big mistake. And now a boy grabs hold of her tightly, strangling her neck. Unwilling to let go. No words spoken, but the message is clear. "Mommy, don't leave me here. I promise I'll be a good boy. I won't disturb you. Don't leave me." Eventually, how does mommy let go of son and get him to school? Very often, a stranger by the name of Teacher has to come and to pray the boy away from mummy. Kicking and screaming, he's pulled away from his mother, snatched away by this person called Teacher. What kind of mother leaves her child alone? What kind of mother closes her ears and cries to her child? What kind of mother turns and walks away, leaving you crying in the arms of stranger? The answer, a mother who loves you so much that she herself is crying as she leaves. You know, friends, in a far greater scale, when we are separated from God, God grieves. Sins when separate us from God, it pains him. In verse 20, we ask God, why do you forget us so long? He left us with a teacher called pain and suffering and sadness. How long, O Lord, will you be angry? And the book ends with that pleading for restoration, asking if God, if you are going to remain angry with us forever. But you know something? When I read your gospel, I was shocked. Tell me, my friends, did I read correctly that God would send his son to suffer and die at the cross for you and I? I could understand why we had to suffer. But what did Jesus do to suffer? God must have loved us so much that he would send his one and only son to die on the cross. Today is Palm Sunday. It is the day that marks the beginning of Holy Week. It is the day that Jesus enters Jerusalem fully aware what is ahead of him, and that is the cross. And yet, he willingly entered the city that sin destroyed us, and to take sin, to die with him, that you and I cannot be separated from God anymore. And as we enter this Holy Week, may you always remember that no matter how far you think you are from God, you can never beat how far God will go to love you. Amen. Let us pray. Friends, as you hear the word of God today, let us search our hearts. Is there a sin to repent from? Something that is not right before the Lord? Will you take this time to confess it before the Lord? And to make a commitment to repent and to turn to Jesus. And for some of us, is there an issue
that we are grieving about. Bring it before the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Heavenly Father, we come as your people, people that you love. And Lord, if we have cherished sin in our lives, as we begin this holy week, Lord, we surrender that to you, Lord. Restore to us your favor, your grace, and your love. And Lord, if there are sadness in our heart, lead us to you again, Lord. Restore to us, Lord, the assurance that you are with us and you will help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.